And welcome back to Kidman Talk. This is your host, Carl Bastian from Kidology.org. And boy, oh boy, am I excited, extra excited to be able to be here with you back talking Kidman. And I'm just here to equip and encourage you in your children's ministry. Those of you, especially who follow me on social media, know the miracle, the answers to prayer that bring me here to be with you today. First of all, I have to say thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your notes of encouragement. Yes, God answered prayer. I went through a heart attack, a stroke, and here I am hanging out with you, talking Kidman. Yes, I'm back. Our sponsor today is KidCheck. Thank you, KidCheck, for your support over the years. It's time to just hang out together, talk Kidman, and let's get to it. Wow, what an adventure. And you know what? Several of you pointed out that my last podcast, the theme was the power of now. And boy, oh boy, did I really live that out. I thought, boy, if the Lord had called me home, that would have been a great last podcast as I talked about the power of now. In fact, after I got back to my church and they welcomed me on Sunday morning, I talked about the power of today. And I talked about, hey, you know, the scriptures say that today is the day the Lord has made. In fact, today is a day of salvation. And I challenge those who are in our adult worship service, if you're still thinking about whether to accept Christ as your Savior, don't leave church today without making that decision. And I went back and I re-listened to that podcast and ended up quoting Master Oogway right there in Big Church. I said, hey, I'm the kids pastor. I got to quote a kids movie. And just like I had on that podcast where Master Oogway said, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, but today is a gift, and that's why it's called the present. And you know what? The pastor's sermon was pretty good, but we had several decisions for Christ that Sunday, and I think, I hope that part of that was my challenge, having faced death that week and having recovered, that hopefully that made some people think about the fact that tomorrow is not certain and our eternal destiny is not something that we can just assume, you know, I've got time. I've got, you know, I can kind of put this decision off, because certainly we can't. Now, most of you who listen or watch my podcast know Jesus Christ as your Savior, but hey, I'm just going to put it out there. If you're in kids ministry for whatever reason, but you've never gotten right with Christ, hey, don't put that off any longer. But I know most of you are in kids ministry. You're right with Christ. And so I'm not going to go into a gospel presentation, but I do just want to quickly say thank you for your prayers of support, the messages I've gotten, the text messages. It's been overwhelming. And thank you so much. I've had a really dramatic recovery, and obviously I'm back. Today, we're going to be talking about tweaking your ministry. You know, I had some time off. I had some time to think about the ministry. I came back and I kind of shook my team up a little bit. We did some pretty cool changes that God used. And we had 28 kids come to Christ last Sunday. And in part, they had to do with some tweaks and changes that we made to our format of our kids' church service. And I'm excited to share that. That's not something I expected, you know, happen every Sunday, but it was in part due to some format changes. And I want to go over that. I'm also going to share a really cool iPhone little secret that lies within your iPhone or your iPad that you probably don't know about, that you're going to absolutely love. And I know some of you, you know, are Android users. I love you. Jesus loves everybody. But that's why I'm going to share that at the end. I don't want you Android people tuning out on me when I start talking iPhone stuff. And I'll give you a little bit more of a personal update a little later. You know, people tune out when you get too much into medical stuff. So, and these podcasts, I like them to be timeless. So you may be watching or listening to this, you know, years down the road. And so I try to keep these timeless as possible. We're going to talk about tweaking your ministry. I'm going to be sharing some things that we did differently. I'm going to be showing you what this weird looking ball is over here. Some of you might know, and it's kind of cool. I'm going to tell you a really funny story that has to do with discipline, because we've updated our rules in the Outpost, and I want to share that with you, and something fun that I'm bringing back that I used to do years ago in my kids' ministry. And as we were dressing, the kids are getting squirrely, and I don't know if it's, fall. Usually we say summer. I don't know. We always have some excuse when the kids just seem to get a little squirrely and a little harder to manage, and sometimes we blame the weather. Sometimes we've gotten lax in our discipline. I don't know what it is. There just seems to be seasons, and so it was something I wanted to address in kind of a fun way, not clamping down on the rules. But first, I just want to take just a minute to talk about KidCheck and Kid Security. Now, many of you already have got Kid Security down. You may already have a kids security system in place, and if you do, fantastic. But several times this week, I have come across posts on social media of some folks who were just kind of lamenting, like, man, we're struggling because we've got an after-school program or something where parents are just dropping kids off and we don't have any accountability. And in one of those posts, I hope I wasn't too harsh, but what they described was kids just being dropped off and parents leaving and absolutely no security. And I posted that I wouldn't even be a part of a ministry like that. I would probably actually resign, write a note to the board of directors, say, I will not be a part of leadership of this ministry if there is no child security. Because if something were to happen to one of those kids, if they were to be abducted or kidnapped or something, I would not want to bear the responsibility for that, because we are creating an environment where a child could be harmed, could end up missing, could end up, and I don't have to describe situations to you. Your imagination is good enough. Just read the news, okay, of what happens in this sinful, evil world to children who are left in vulnerable situations. Child security is not something you ought to have. It's something you have to have. It is a must, all right? And there are all kinds. I could do a whole podcast on possibilities, but if there's parents dropping kids off, then parents need to be put on rotation. There has to be a system in place. And people were suggesting, sign-in sheets and all kinds of homemade systems. And I understand that sometimes that's where you have to start. But you know what? The best thing you can do is go to the pros. Go to the people that have worked out the bugs. They've worked out the systems. So there's no gaps. There's nothing left to chance. And yes, it costs an investment. But if you look at what a break in security costs the church, literally, they can go out of business. They can have a multi-million-dollar lawsuit. It is worth the expense. I mean, to drive a car, you have to have insurance, right? There are costs to anything that is valuable. And so I would encourage you, go to kidology.org/kidcheck. Yes, you can go to kidcheck.com, but if you start on Kidology, you can have your first year with a discount. Talk to KidCheck, let them walk you through their system. It's completely thought through. They have been doing this for a long time. They're constantly improving the system. They're always ahead of the game with software and with mobile check-in and with express check-in. Other systems tend to look at what they're doing and catch up, and sometimes don't even do it as well. So please do look into child security, and I would encourage you, even a conversation with KidCheck. If you find that your church, you can't afford it or whatever, they will still be happy to talk to you, help you, guide you, give you some advice. I talked to someone just this week who's been wanting KidCheck for years, and they've finally been able to sign up, and they're so excited. It's taken them a couple years to get there. They've been using something else, and they're like, Pastor Carl, I finally got KidCheck. I've been working toward this. It's been my goal, and KidCheck has been walking with them and working with them, and they've been pitching it to leadership why this is important, why this is the goal. This is where we want to be. And when we be there, when we get there, we can finally relax knowing that we have a secure children's ministry. So again, it's not optional. It's not an add-on. It is one of the first things. Of course, salvations are our goal, and there's a lot of spiritual things that are important. But when we're taking kids into our care, that is something that we have got to treat as a top priority, because that's a stewardship that we have in our day and age, in our culture, and we've got to take that seriously. So enough on that. Kidology.org/kidcheck. That'll guide you. You fill out a form. They will get in touch with you, and they will answer your questions, and they will coach you through the process of taking your ministry up to that next level of security. You'll feel better, and your parents will feel better, especially since they're a known name in the industry. And when parents visit your church and they see you take security seriously, it'll give them a level of comfort when they leave their children with you. All right, so what's been going on in my life? Again, thank you for your prayers and support. I've had a complete recovery. They were initially saying open heart surgery. I was going to be out for months. God answered prayer. I've been doing so much better. After the heart attack, I had a stroke. I'm not going to go into the nitty gritty details and stories. Those of you who know me, feel free to reach out to me one-on-one. I'm more than happy to share the details of that story and the miraculous recovery that I've had. Right now, if you're listening to this currently, I would just ask you for prayer for vision recovery, all right? I'm having some issues with vision, and that's my prayer request. They're saying, hey, the doctors are saying, don't worry yet. 3 to 6 months recovery time. And they're like, there's nothing you can do. I said, I'll eat squid, you know, whatever I got to do. And they're like, there's nothing you can do but just wait and hope. Well, we know there's something that can be done, and that's called prayer. So I just ask you, just from my heart, if you think of it, pray for me, because I need to have that restored so I can drive, so I can ride my 6-foot unicycle, so I can juggle, not, you know, walk over children in the nursery. And so I just covet your prayers for a full recovery to my vision. That's just something that if you're willing and you think of it, I would love for your prayer for a full restoration of my vision on my right side. So if anyone tries to sneak up on me on this side, you know, they won't scare me. So that would be great. But I've had so much fun coming back to ministry with those fresh eyes. You know, that's something I talk a lot about, how you need to look at your ministry with fresh eyes. And even though I was only out for a couple of weeks and I did relax, I did chill, I didn't think about ministry, it did give me a time and an opportunity for some of the things that we were wrestling with or just issues that were going on. And a lot of times in ministry, it can be really easy to slip into a complaining mode. So let me tell you some of the things that we were kind of wrestling with, all right? And that we weren't, but you could complain about. Like that grown-up service always letting out at different times. Like sometimes the preacher, he's done early and the stampede of parents come in and you're just getting right to the core of the lesson and you're ready to drive it home, and then parents start coming in and, you know, you just kind of got to wrap things up, right? Or that Holy Spirit, he's just moving and the adult service is going long. And so you're like trying to add on to the lesson, and you're like, let's sing a song or let's do the game again. And then you're like, man, if I'd known I was going to have an extra 45 minutes, I could have, you know, gone deeper with the lesson, and I could have done more. And of course, the Holy Spirit only moves like that during the second service, right? He never moves like that during the first service, because, you know, you got to get everybody out to their cars, and, you know, that's just, the Holy Spirit's very considerate, you know, to only move like that during the second service, right? He's a gentleman. And so you have that issue. And then we've got a really cool thing going on in our church. It's called Growth Track, and it's where new members or new people and even people have been around a long time, we're taking them through this 3-week course where they discover their spiritual gifts and stuff, and that's during the second hour. But that they've already been to first service, and so they let out early, and then those folks, they just want to come get their kids early. And so 20 minutes early, we'll have, you know, a bunch of parents come in and want to get their kids, and we were like, oh, could we ask them to, you know, go longer, or can we ask them to just wait? But that's kind of inconsiderate because, you know, they did come to a whole service, and then their kids are in our second hour program called Trailblazers, and I've talked about that in the past, so I won't explain it now. But we have a second hour program for kids that are here 2 hours. Parents are volunteering, or they're in Growth Track. But, you know, that's a disruption because then, you know, we got, you know, a bunch of kids, you know, leaving. And so we're just like, you know, how do we address these issues? And yeah, we'd love to ask the pastor and worship team in adult church, could they please cooperate with our schedule? Or could Growth Track go longer? Or could parents not go to football games and come get their kids early? And so you have those issues. And then we had, as I mentioned earlier, you know, the discipline issues, you know, where kids just get squirrely. And you know, there's something, what is that serenity prayer? You know, I'd have to Google it. I'm not going to. But it's, Lord, give me the wisdom to, you know, change what I can change and accept what I can't change. You know that serenity prayer. And so that's what you have to do as a leader. You have to go, all right, there's some things I can't change. And so you have to think about your response to it. You can get bitter, you can complain, and you can get annoyed, or you can say, okay, that's what I've got to work with, and what's important. And so what we did is we decided we're going to restructure our service, all right, so that it doesn't matter whether the preacher goes longer or shorter, or this small group, or not small group, this Growth Track lets out early or doesn't. So we did some structural changes, and I'm really excited about the results. Now, we've only done it one Sunday, so this is really fresh. So there's going to be some more tweaking going on, and I've got it right here, okay? So I did a 15-minute training video on this for my leaders, which, if you ask me for it, I might let you see it, but it's just a unlisted YouTube video for my leaders. But here's the basic deal, okay? I'm going to walk you through this, and you might be able to steal some of this for yourself. And I am going to cut this out of the video, all right? It's going to cut right now, and it's back. Don't have to, you hear me blow my nose on the podcast. So here's what we're going to do. We're actually going to start our service earlier. All right. Here's what we decided to do. We're going to start our countdown video 10 minutes before the service starts. All right. Now the kids aren't going to notice. They're not looking at their clocks. And then we're going to do a song, an upbeat fun song, like a worship shuffle or something like that, 5 minutes before the service starts. Now, the reason is when the kids come early, and I've showed this other places, we don't do video games. They play those all week long, but we do have physical, mostly wooden type games out at the outpost, and the kids are playing with those around tables, and we're relationally engaging with the kids and visiting with them. But when they see the countdown, we're going to start, you know, encouraging them toward their seats. And then when that fun, upbeat worship shuffle starts, you know, they're going to go toward their seats. And then once that song starts, that's when we're going to close down the games and, hey, we've started. And then right on time, we're still going to start, but we will have already done the upbeat fun song. It doesn't even have to be a real spiritual song. It's just kind of the lights go down and we're started. Then we're going to do that welcome right on time. So we're kind of technically still starting on time, but that's just a quick welcome. Welcome to the Outpost. We're going to have a blast today. This month is Zany Zootopia. That's our new current series. And we're so glad you're here. That's 2 to 3 minutes. So we're not going to greet guests because guests aren't typically there on time. They're still registering at check-in because we have a secure ministry, right? And then we're going to go into an upbeat, fun but more meaningful song that's still upbeat that goes with the theme of the day, right? We typically do that anyway, but we're just going to do one song. And so we're going to go into that fun, upbeat song. Kids are still coming in, being greeted, but they're being seated. But we're just going to do one song. We're going to move some of our worship to the end, which is a change for us. Part of that is we want to have that responsive time, all right? Then we've got our Reggie the Bear. He's going to come out. He's going to do announcements. He's going to do offering, and he's going to greet our guests. So he's going to come out, and he's going to say, hey, I see some new people. And if there's nobody new, he's just going to play dumb, and he's going to say, oh, you must have changed clothes since last Sunday, or you did your hair differently or whatever. So we're moving that in there. And then one thing I changed, which was kind of a radical change, is typically I do this puppet named Gus, and he comes out, and he's silly, and he's fun, and he loosely introduces a theme. The kids always complain that Gus is too short. Well, I only do Gus 3 to 5 minutes because there's not a lot of content with Gus, right? He's funny. He's engaging. He's introducing the lesson. Honestly, they love Gus more than me, right? And I thought, well, how can I extend Gus for the kids' sake, but have him be more substantive? So I decided I'm going to teach with Gus. I'm going to use him for the Bible story. He's going to do that Bible story tell it segment from the IT Bible curriculum. So I didn't. So Reggie kind of replaced Gus as the bear coming out. And so he came out and kind of replaced Gus. He's funny and the kids love Reggie Bear. And I didn't want to add Reggie back in because we hadn't used him in a while and he fit our Zootopia theme. And so then I came out and we did the watch it video from the IT curriculum, which is like 3 minutes. And then I came out and I just went straight into the teaching. So we were moving our content up in the service. Typically, we did our game then. We skipped the game, wondered if the kids would notice. Went straight into the Bible story. I did it with Gus. I'll link it in the show notes. We filmed it so that we can put it on our YouTube channel for the kids and on PastorCarl.com. And then I put Gus away and I went into the teaching because I wanted to teach with Gus. And then here was the cool part. Then we went into a response time. And I was honestly nervous about this. It's a little out of my natural personality type. But I invited kids to come forward during the worship song if they wanted to pray. And then they did. Kids came forward. And I got down with them. I heard what was on their heart. And I don't want to share any content. But I will tell you, I followed up with the parents during the week. And one of the moms told me that her son said to her about what was going on in the home, and that she was surprised that he had gotten to share that. And I got to learn more from her, had an incredible talk with this mom about the details that the son had shared with me, and found out how much that meant to her, and had that similar conversation with a couple of the other parents. And then because it was the snake on the pole lesson, it was a gospel presentation. The next song, I gave the gospel presentation, and we had a ton of kids accept Christ that day. In fact, let me just throw this out there. We have this great gospel follow-up booklet. I had more kids come forward than I had booklets, so I couldn't give the kids the booklet because I would have left some kids out. So I had to do a letter and mail the booklets. It's called My New Life with Christ. The brand new me. I'm going to look this up really quick because I want to give this to you correctly. My brand new life, I think it is. Yes, it's My Brand New Life. And if you go to kidology.org/my-brand-new-life, I'll link it in the show notes. And I'll also link the letter that I send to parents because people think, oh, well, they've done that before or they're too young. And I really address that in the letter to the parent because even if a parent thinks they did that 2 years ago at VBS, I address in there, God knows what's going on in their heart and whether they've done this before or whether, you know, they're really young. We celebrate that God connected with them. That's why I'm giving you this booklet so you can read through with them, help them better understand what it means to accept Christ and to follow him. And if they do this 2 or 3 times as a child, we don't freak out. We don't correct them. We don't say, you've done this before. And because many of these kids will do the same thing again as a teenager. That's okay. It's just like when an adult wants to get baptized again because they say, well, I was only 9 when I got baptized. That's okay. That's between them and God. We're not the judges of a person's heart. That's between them and God. We're there to guide, coach, explain, and celebrate, okay? So, that's the book that we give them, and it was a wonderful experience. And so after that was done, no parents interrupted because this wasn't rushed. I mean, this was a good 40 minutes into the service, but it was before Growth Track was out, second service. It was before any parents showed up, even those sneaking off to a game or some family event that they had that day, which is okay. So I don't want to be judging parents for leaving early. That's their life, all right? And so then, you know, we wrapped that up and it was relaxed and slow paced. Then we did our game. Then we did our Find It sword drill, you know. Then we did our monthly theme verse. Well, we did that before the sword drill. I was so relaxed doing these extra, and they weren't really fillers. They were part of the IT Bible curriculum. They were all fed into the computer. Our tech guys, I warned them ahead of time, you just be ready. Whatever I call for, you put it up on the screen. And it went so well. The other new thing I want to share with you was our rules. And I've shared this in a couple places online. People are always asking about, what are your rules? I don't use rules at all. I don't use the word rules, all right? Because as soon as you do rules, it's like, rules, all right? I just always use something fun, all right? So we just introduced what I call my trail tips. I will post this online in a PDF form. I don't expect you to use my form, come up with your own, but we call them trail tips. There, I'll hold this still there for a second because we're an outdoor theme, go along with your theme. But our number one is join the adventure. And that's the positive way of saying participate, all right? Be a part of what we're doing. If we're singing, you sing. If we're playing a game, play the game. Be a part of what we're doing. Number two is follow your guides. I always have a catch-all, all right? And a catch-all just means it's one rule that's kind of everything. All right, so follow the guides, and we call our leaders trail guides. So that's just like, and I say basically trail guides, they're taller than you. They're big people. They're old people. You know, I kind of joke, and they go, we're not old, especially when I have some young trail guides. And but just if they ask you to do something, just obey. Just do what they ask you to do, and just do it quickly. Number three is keep your arms and legs inside your chair. And I kind of joke, it's like in the Jungle Book, you know, the Jungle Cruise at Disneyland. So just keep your arms and legs inside your chair at all times. So don't be poking your neighbor. Don't be bothering people around you. They understand that. And ours is watch out for bears, because we have Reggie the Bear, and he comes out on the set. We have some doors that open, and it says don't wake the bear on the door. So it's just something unique to us. You should have something fun and unique to your ministry. And our last ones have fun. And I've used that for, I won't say how many years I've been in ministry, but I've always used that. From way back when I was a green thumb rookie, my last rule has always been have fun. And they always remember that rule. But I always say, well, you can't have fun unless you're following the other rules. That's why it's always the fourth rule. It's the fifth rule. It's always the last rule. And then at the bottom, it says, we're looking for super adventurers. Now, I haven't done this in years. In fact, I don't think I did this at my last ministry. And I thought, I need to bring this back. We used to call it a super kid. I've called it different things over the years. And that's where every service, we are looking for one kid that we are going to reward. And again, I'll post this in the show notes. And that is the kid who's like the best behaved kid. And, you know, you have kids that are just always well-behaved, right? And eventually they'll be your super kid, in our case, super adventurer. But they're just this kid that just does a good job. Now, some people go, well, what about a kid that never gets picked? Well, there's some kids that never get picked that don't really care, that aren't really worried about it. And once in a while, you can kind of keep a grocery list. Sometimes you'll have kids go, I'm never going to say, well, why don't you be really good next week? And then make a little note, you know, make sure they get it in the next couple of weeks. I've never really had any backlash from this, all right? Now, this says this kid named here is certifiably awesome, all right? You put their name, has been selected as the Super Adventurer Sunday the blank of blank, 20,000 blank. I have a scan of my signature, so it's just on there. Saves me time. But I always want another leader, so it's not just me. So it has supervising outpost ranger, and then they sign it. And then I delegate this so I don't have to forget. So I assign it to our worship leader to do. They can delegate it to someone else. I just let my worship leaders kind of own the responsibility so that either they do it or they delegate it. But the kids at I hate to say problem kid, but the kids that are a challenge, the kids who, you know, have ADHD or something like that, this really works for them. Those are the kids that want to be that super adventurer, and they're working at it, you know? And so it gives them a challenge. It gives them something to aspire to, and they'll get it, because they'll just keep, and they're the ones that when they get it, it's such a big deal. And then we take a picture of them with their certificate. And of course, they get a prize out of the prize box, so it's not just a certificate. I print them on cardstock, and I've been to kids' houses, and it is up on the fridge, up in their bedroom. I tell them if they save save this and put it on their resume someday, it'll help them get the job, their dream job that they're after. And so it's just something fun to do, and it works well. And then we take those pictures, and on the wall, we're going to do super adventurers, and we're going to put the pictures up there of all of our past super adventurers. And there's some kids that will get it twice, and it's just kind of a fun thing, all right? So the other thing I wanted to mention today on the podcast is to just a quick mention, be a storyteller. Last week, I told the story of when I was 11 years old, I got attacked by a lion in the zoo. True story. And I'll post in show notes, I recorded the story that I told Second Service. And it's a true story. I was attacked by a lion in the zoo, and I lived to tell about it. You'll just have to go to YouTube and watch the story. The kids love the story. And then I teased my bear attack story. Yeah, I was attacked by a bear as a child, too. I was attacked by a lot of animals. I'm going to tell several of those stories during our Zany Zootopia. If you haven't heard of Zany Zootopia, just go to kidology.org/Zany Zootopia, or just click on the show notes. I'll link it there. It's the current series in the IT Bible curriculum, which, of course, is the curriculum that's free to Kidology All Access members. I enjoy writing it with some friends of mine that collaborate with me, and it's a wonderful curriculum, and it's just one of the perks of supporting the ministry of Kidology. You'll love it. Kids need it. God's Word has it. Now you can teach it, right? That's our slogan. But let me just end, before I get to my iPhone tip, with a story I want to share for you. We're talking about discipline, right? So here's a fun story for you. We had a summer event years ago, and we went to a community park, and we had bounce houses, and we were giving away food, and our whole church was there. But we did it in a park because we wanted to kind of attract the neighborhood. It was an inner city church, so we knew people would just come out of the woodwork for the free food and the games and everything. And trying to be a cool kids pastor, I had my Water Nader outfit. Maybe I'll find a picture and throw it in the show notes. And my Water Nader outfit was this, I have this chemical suit that I've had for years. I had a volunteer who worked at Abbott Laboratories, and he gave me a chemical suit. And so I had a chemical suit on, full white chemical suit, rubber gloves, boots. All I have left now is the blue pullover. And so I had super soakers all over me. And so I'm walking around with this Water Nader, and I'm squirting the kids, and they're loving it. They're laughing and they're screaming. Now, you know, when you're going around squirting kids in a park on a hot day, they're all screaming, "No, don't squirt me, don't squirt me." And of course I'm squirting them. Well, I guess there must have been one boy who was screaming, "Don't squirt me," who actually didn't want to be squirted, all right? Well, every kid I'm squirting is screaming, "Don't squirt me," and I'm squirting them because that's what you do on a 90-degree day. I'm dying inside the suit. The big clear plastic part is just dripping with water. So I'm basically blind for all intensive purposes. You know, I'm trying to look through this. Every now and then I'm reaching up inside and trying to wipe the plastic, you know, with my rubber gloves so that I can see again. And I'm going around squirting. And so all of a sudden, I feel some kid come up to me, and with both hands, he just, bam, he just pushes me. So I go flying back, and I'm like a turtle. I got so many water bottles and super soaker. I go flying back onto my back. It hurt because I landed on some – I had a backpack with big old tanks that had a tube, and it was another water gun. So I went back, and so I'm like a turtle on my back, and I'm able to finally roll over and pull this thing off. And I knew some kid had done it. Some, you know, mean boy had just decided to deck me. And so I go down, and so I'm mad, but at the same time, I'm like, you know, I probably had it coming. So I get all this, some of the gear off, and I stand up, and the kids are all trying to point at the boy that did it. And I'm like, it's all right. I don't care who did it. And so I'm like, hey, that whoever it was, that wasn't cool. Hey, we're just trying to have fun here. But this kid comes up to me, and he's like a short kid. He's a pretty buff kid. And he just starts yelling at me. And he's like, "Yeah, you're blankety blank blank. You wanna fight, I'll fight you." And I'm going, I don't want to fight anybody. I'm squirting. We're having a water fight. Now, granted, I was the only one with a water gun, so it wasn't very fair. But, you know, it was a hot day, and I'm offering refreshment, you know. And I'm saying, you know, I will squirt you, but this won't last. But Jesus offers water to—okay, I wasn't really doing that. But so this kid's just yelling at me, and he's wanting to fight, you know. And he's like, got his dukes up, and I'm just like, kid, this— it just calmed down. He's like, I didn't want to be squirted. I'm like, okay, well, I'm sorry that I squirted you. All the kids said they didn't want to be squirted. I'm just squirting. We're just kind of having fun here. And I don't know that he went to our church or not. I didn't recognize the kid. So I'm trying to like make peace with this kid. And he's like little miniature Rocky Balboa. Like he wants to fight this a grown man. Now, granted, I'm probably in my 20s. I look ridiculous. So he just keeps cussing and like trying to fight me, right? So so anyway, I thought, okay, I need to talk to a parent here. So I said, you know, are your parents around here? Yeah, my dad's right over there. I said, can we talk to your dad? He's like, yeah. So I thought, okay, whew, I get some parental involvement here. So I'm schlepping all my water guns and my suit, and I think I even had flippers on. I looked ridiculous. So I'm schlepping all this stuff across this grass field. Of course, there's a mob of kids behind me, and I'm trying to tell the kids, I'll be back, just go away, I'll be back in a minute. So I get over to the dad, and I look ridiculous, so I'm kind of embarrassed because I'm trying to have an adult conversation, and this kid goes up to his dad, this guy squirted me, you know, and I'm expecting, you know, the dad, you know, to understand what's going on, and I said, you know, I was over there squirting the kids. I guess your son didn't want to be squirted. And he got a little – the kid looks perfectly dry, by the way. I'm trying to even find – he's not even wet. He's probably dried already from the hot sun. So I said, hey, I guess your son didn't want to be squirted. Looks – he got a little water on him. And so he pushed me over, and he says he wants to fight. Obviously, I don't want to fight a kid. So I just asked – you know, where his parents were so that, you know, I could just bring this to a close. I'd get back the kids. And he goes, oh, so you want to pick on someone your own size? And I'm like, what? And so this dude starts rolling up his sleeves, putting up his fists. And he's like, if you want to fight, why don't you pick on someone your own size? And he gets into a fighting position. And I'm like, no, I was hoping maybe you would just encourage your son to, if he doesn't want to get squirted, maybe just stay away from the water games. And so this dude's like, no, let's do it right here, right now. And then I was in my 20s. I wasn't very mature. So I said something I probably shouldn't have said. I said to this guy, well, at least now I know where he gets it. And so this guy goes back and he's ready to deck me. When two dads from our ministry jumped in between us and said, sir. So this guy starts trying to fight these two other men. They have to restrain this guy. and they turned to me and go, get out of here. So I turned around and went back over by the kids. And I didn't find out what happened. And later they said they asked this man to leave the park. So anyway, there's just a crazy story. I almost got beat up by a kid, and I almost got beat up by the kid's dad. So that kid did not get super kid of the day. Let's just leave it at that. Well, hey, I want to wrap it up with the iPhone super secret that that you probably don't know that you're absolutely going to love. All right. So you're on your iPhone. You're on your iPad. I don't think this works on the laptop, the Mac laptop. Please don't try it on your laptop. I don't want you to break your laptop, all right? But here's the secret. First of all, how many of you guys know the power of Control Z, all right? Maybe you do, maybe you don't, all right? I'm going to do a Superman here, and I'm going to unbutton my shirt right here because I have the coolest T-shirt that my IT director gave me. Are you ready? Here it is. Boom. Keep calm and Control Z. A lot of people, I'm surprised, don't know the power of Control Z. Almost in this, you PC Android people can appreciate. You may not know this, but almost anything on your computer, you mess up, you delete something, Control Z is undo. And you can Control Z, Control Z, Control Z. Most programs, up to 20, 30 of your last commands, your computer remembers and will undo. It works in almost any program. It's like hard-coded into your computer. You can be editing in video software. You can be in Microsoft Word. You can be in like a silly photo program. It doesn't matter. You mess up. You accidentally did a keystroke and you deleted something. Whatever. You just control Z. Oh, and it comes back. You can even do it multiple times. It's a beautiful thing. Well, Apple took it a step further, and on your iPhone, I was going to pick up my iPhone, but I'm recording with it. On your iPhone, if you're writing a text and you bump something and it disappears, or you're doing something on Facebook and and you make it disappear, or you're in an app, or you're in Microsoft Word, or you're something, or even on your iPad, all you have to do to control Z, because there's no keyboard, is you shake your phone. They built in that if you just shake your phone, it's the same as typing control Z. It even works on an iPad. You could be doing something on your iPad and you accidentally goof up. I'm gonna put my pencil down. You can take your iPad, and if you just violently shake your iPad, it's an undo. Now, I don't think it does multiple. I think it's just the last thing that you did. But if you just shake your iPad without breaking it or throwing it, it'll work. That's why I'm saying I don't think you want to try it with your MacBook Pro or your iMac. I don't think you want to be picking your iMac up and shaking it. Maybe you want to experiment. Let me know if shaking your MacBook Pro doesn't undo. I don't think so, because you can control Z. But try it on your iPhone. Try it on your iPad. It works fantastic. And it is great. Well, thanks for joining me here on Kidman Talk. Remember to go to kidmantalk.com, click on this episode, and hopefully everything I've promised you is right there in the show notes. If you're looking for something that's not there, just drop me an email, carl@kidmantalk.com. Also, go to kidology.org/kidcheck. Drop them a line. Let them help you take the security of your children's ministry up a notch. And also, if you're not an all-access member of Kidology, make sure you make that investment in yourself and in your ministry. You'll be overwhelmed with all the amazing resources, from curriculum to training tools to recruiting tools. And go to the zones. There's just so much help there to help you and your ministry thrive. See you next time.